Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Show. So, yeah, man. Like, I have a thing where I start shitting all over my wrists.
Oh. Wow, dude.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 265. This is the gay Mexican sandwich. How you been?
This is the Alpha, the Omega, and the Way.
What's your name?
Estoy Mateo.
This is Rhett.
Hey, fellers!
What's up, dude?
How we doing?
Bro.
Bruh.
I'm pre-diabetic, officially. Hella tight.
I think you've been pre-diabetic for as long as I've known you.
No, just now, officially.
You just tipped the scales?
Yeah. Fucking sucks. I can't eat rice. It sucks unless it's brown rice.
That's one of your favorite food groups.
Brown rice is tight, though.
Brown rice is decidedly not tight.
Oh. I like brown rice.
Wild rice, not tight. White rice.
Dude, get tight with that.
Give it to me now. That's
get
all I
right
want.
With
well,
that
you can't have jasmine rice either, huh? Because that's white rice.
I can't have basically anything white. Like flour tortillas, fucking bread. Yeah,
you can't even have corn tortillas.
No more Friday
really?
The 13th
no.
movies I mean, for you.
Corn tortillas are better, but yeah.
No, fucking, not really.
Fucking sucks, and I can't like eat ice cream, which is like my favorite. No gummy bears.
You're a sweets kind of guy, right? You enjoy
that's
sweets.
That's why he's pre-diabetic.
I'm a sucker for
well,
ice cream.
I mean,
ice cream
to,
is
be,
my kryptonite.
To be fair, I drink a shitload of beer, and that's basically like liquid bread. So, you know, I'm not like admonishing him for liking sweets. I just know that that's kind of like your bit. But yeah. Yeah.
You know, I feel like one of those people that's always just like creating like ailments for themselves to fucking get attention and sympathy.
That is like, yeah, that is
you, dude.
I really wish that was the fucking case.
You know what? Because okay, wait
it's
a minute.
Too bad.
You said it. You said it because you mentioned it last episode with the gay agenda dudes.
We talked about it off air.
That's what
I
mean. I
didn't mention it on
last
the
time we were here without the mics on, and then you mentioned it to the fucking the who lives there. Guess who's pre-diabetic?
Oh,
and now you're on air mentioning it.
He mentioned it on the Discord, too. He goes,
oh, yeah.
He goes, saw, dudes, I'm pre-diabetic. I'm going on Twitch.
Yeah,
and it's like,
come watch my stream.
What the fuck?
Yep. Yeah, dude, it sucks.
He likes to have the attention.
He wants the support.
He wants support. That's part of I want. Like, yeah. I want the support, but also it helps me
just
to, like,
it,
deal with it
just,
by just saying
just
it out
Just look at
loud.
It this way, dude. Like, your fucking gains are going to get even more sick.
You know, that's the bright side.
Is
that's
that
what I've
true?
Been looking at. It's, well, bro, well, if I'm eating less, like, white rice and shit, I'm eating
less fucking carbs that are going to turn into fructose.
Yep, so I
got
to eat more, like whole grains and
you're
shit.
You're going to be doing clean bulk, dude.
Dude, that's fucking true, Matt.
Yeah.
It's forcing you to fucking eat.
You know, and Ollie is like, no, you can have it like in moderation. I'm like, I don't understand moderation.
That's
I got to do
exactly
all or nothing because
right.
otherwise I'm just going to fuck it up. So guess what? I can't be counted on to stick myself with needles in the future. So
yeah,
I'm
Ollie,
just going to stop eating
you,
this shit.
I'm not eating donuts in moderation. You know what I mean? Donuts. I'm not
Ollie,
eating
Have
I'm not
you
eating
met
pizza
your husband
in
before?
Moderation.
Do it in moderation.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
And like pizza has just been like the fucking bane of my existence the last week. That's all I've wanted is just fucking pizza.
Exactly.
But either way,
I
it's all bad.
To you.
It's
you can go
bad.
Ronnie's route. Like she manages to do gluten-free stuff with
yeah,
pretty
why don't I just fucking kill myself? That sounds real fun.
That's right.
Or,
wait. You know what else you can do in moderation? You can drink in moderation, dude.
Oh, can I?
Yeah.
I'm just going to smoke
and
weed
if you can't,
in excess.
If you can't, dude. That's a problem, bro.
It is a problem.
That's exactly.
Why,
that's why
I don't
drink
do it anymore.
And then when people tell me that, if you can't do that, that means
that you have a problem. So
yeah,
no
yeah,
shit,
yeah,
bro.
Shit. It's called being an alcoholic.
I recognize that.
Why do you
yeah.
give a fuck if I don't drink this beverage?
Yeah.
People are like that, though.
I'll smoke this blunt right in your face.
All right, fellas. Well, you know, bad news for Matt, but good news for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is bad news. But
I mean, it sucks, but like life's been chill.
It's fixable. That's the thing. That's the thing about the type of pre-diabetic that you are. It's fixable. Yeah. I mean, it's not a big
deal. But like, yeah, silver linings. And I'm having a good week. Everything's cool. We're here. We're recording in person.
Would you prefer elephantitis all over your face or to be pre-diabetic?
I'd prefer elephantitis of my D.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't.
No, yeah, it's so no, big it's and shaped like a football.
No, it's horrific.
It's shaped like a fucking elephant's trunk.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
No, no.
You know how much money I could make off of that?
No, Mr. Griffin, it's shaped like a tumor is what it's shaped like. Yeah. You don't want that.
Yeah, a big pleasure-shaped tumor.
Yeah, you know.
Did you just assume the shape of my tumor?
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's so dick-shaped. Other than that, how has your week been?
Chill. Chill as fuck.
Have you watched anything? Played anything?
I have. I forgot to open it up, but I've read two books. So I finished reading that book I was talking about last week, Body Art. I mean, it's still like not good, but like when the violence kicks in, ooh, that's good shit. Like he can write violence, whatever. Christopher.
Like violence.
Tiara, something like that. He can write violence pretty good. That's what kept me going. The story just kind of fucking ended. They introduced elements like, that went kind of nowhere and then just resolved themselves suddenly. But, yeah.
So it's a Stephen King book.
It's whatever. Yeah. You know, except it's not like long winded.
Oh, got him.
Then I read Header by Ed Lee.
Okay.
His book, Portrait of the Psychopath as a Young Woman, is like one of my favorite books.
And the title's too long.
Yeah. But like, it insists upon itself. None of his other books hold a candle to that. So Header was kind of disappointing. It was just like, oh, look, there's these rednecks that drill holes in people's head and fuck them. And that's kind of...
He fucks the holes?
Yeah, kind of the extent of it. And then I started reading the
Curious... Big fan of Trepanning, I guess.
Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. That book's going to make me cry for sure.
That's a
sad-ass book. It's written by like an autistic kid's diary.
You read these books?
I read the two, and I started Curious Incident
Why the fuck are you reading books, bro? What is it?
It's for your brain, dude.
Nah, dog.
He's fucking his brain pussy, dude.
Yeah.
How long are these books?
The Body Art was like 220 pages.
What? Oh, so a short story.
Header was 90, and I've only gotten about 30 pages into.
If you were gonna say they were like fucking 500 pages each,
no,
I was gonna be like, dude,
I'm just reading these books. But like, I could have read a 500.
All these books, man.
And then I started
all these books, man.
Started watching What We Do in the Shadows season 2.
Uh-huh. How is it?
It's fucking great, dude. Of course it is. I've got about 3 or 4 episodes in. It's really entertaining. I don't remember what else I watched. So like, I'm just going to pass the mic.
I have been too busy watching Money Heist to anything else.
Good. That's the one with Woody Harrelson and
also Money Train.
Oh, okay.
And also Tower Heist.
Ah.
Yes. Good. That's a good show. We just finished season 1. And we're it was 2 episodes in on season 2. That's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing the game Ori and the Blind Forest. Ori in the Blind Forest? Or the sequel to Ori in the Blind Forest, whichever fuck game that is.
Never even heard of that.
It's real good. It's a side-scrolling Metroidvania game.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Jorge plays a side-scroller. That is incredible to see. It's a piece of art. That just so happens to be a game. Fantastic mechanics. I highly recommend it. I'm about 2 hours, 3 hours in. Fucking highly recommend it.
Hell yeah.
Hell motherfucking yeah. What else did I watch?
Hell motherfucking yeah.
We watched, what did we watch? Poultrygeist. Yep. Which you can hear our talk about on the Patreon.
Our in-depth intellectual discussion.
Yeah.
By going to patreon.com.
Oh,
who goes there podcast.
Hey, Matt. Saw tell us about the Patreon.
What's up with the Patreon, dude?
Patreon.com/who goes there podcast is full of lucky fucks who get all kinds of dumb jokes that you don't. You know why? Because they get bonus content, exclusive episodes, exclusive merchandise, all kinds of awesome stuff, and access to the Patreon only Discord. And all you got to do is go to patreon.com/who goes there podcast, subscribe with a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money. You can go as high as you want to. And it all helps. So go do that now.
Yeah, we've got a new homie on board, Matt Creamer.
Creamer. Yeah. You think that's like a...
I haven't said anything. I just wanted to...
It's like a sign.
You just wanted to giggle silently?
Creamer.
Creamer, and also thanks to...
Creamer, hardly newer.
The homie Christina for also upping her pledge this week. What the fuck?
Going above and beyond the available tiers.
We've got a special treat for our $20 homies coming up. If you were living under a rock over the last month, Ed McMahon,
yes,
creator of The Binding of Isaac, created a card game called Tapeworm.
Yeah.
He kickstarted it about a month ago. We just put in an order for 30 retail copies. So for our homies in the $30 level, you'll be getting those when they are released. Wasabi!
Yeah. You'll be getting a tapeworm.
You're
going to be losing a lot of weight.
Well, oh, if only.
I should clarify. We'll be getting them when they're released. You'll be getting them whenever I drag my ass to the post office. There you go.
So never.
Yeah. You'll get them at Christmas, dorks.
Anywho, welcome, Creamer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Fucking Cream.
What have you watched, dude? And how have you not watched Prayer of the Roller
Coaster? Hold on. Let me wait. Okay. The Room again.
Yep. I watched Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks continuation. You know, like, we had pie this time instead of donuts.
I watched Fire Walk with Me.
Nope. Definitely
you
watched
guys
that.
Are good though. You guys really pay attention.
You know, I
definitely did not watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah. You know, I watched Dr. Zhivago, A Bridge on the
Medicine
River
Kwai. Woman.
A Lean Night.
Yeah, A Lean Night.
A Brief Encounter.
Yeah.
Guys, you know what I've never seen before? Dr. Zhivago. Saw for the first time last night. Amazing.
You know, you know what I've never seen? Die Hard. Have you guys ever seen this movie, Die Hard? No, just kidding. No.
Regrettably, I have.
It's a bad joke, dude.
Okay.
So anywho, what did
so
you see?
So was the Dr. Zhivago. No, wait, I've watched Twin Peaks. We have literally watched Twin Peaks and Twilight Zone.
Oh.
Hi, Sophia. The new Twilight Zone?
Fuck that. No.
I wouldn't. Don't say fuck that. It's not
I didn't
bad.
Watch
it's not
it.
Bad.
I didn't watch
bad.
It. Yet.
It's not bad. There's
I know,
some...
but it's not Rod Serling and I'm.
I'll Wait, wasn't it. He the president of the Hair Club for Men?
Rod Serling or Lloyd Kaufman?
That's Ron Popeil.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Rod Serling.
He's the guy who did the oven.
Ron Perlman is having a Twitter feud with
everyone.
Yeah.
He's also part gorilla.
Yeah. Well, we all are.
Well, no, but he's like a large part gorilla.
Supposedly.
Mostly in the face.
Yeah, all of this here.
The larger part of his being is gorilla.
He is gorilla. Proof of Cro-Magnon man.
So Sophia is a completist just by nature. She's not nearly the pop culture and movie dork.
I'm
going to
complete.
No, but when we first met, you know, you're talking about all the stuff you like and your similarities. What she I knew she liked Twilight Zone, but I had gotten this like Twilight. Shut the fuck up.
You're like, oh, you like Twilight Zone? Name three of their albums.
Yeah. No, but
oh yeah, name three actors.
William Shatner.
William Shatner.
Burgess Meredith. Leonard Nimoy.
I don't even know if that's true.
That is true.
It is true, actually.
It is fucking true. It's tight. There's a lot of Robert Duvall's in that shit. There's a lot of great fucking actors on that show that got their start in
There's that
show.
Episode about my glasses.
That's fucking Mickey. That's Burgess Meredith. He's like, yeah, he wants to read
books. Did you ever watch, I think it was Tales from the Dark Side?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the one with that lady that gets the weight loss glasses and the fruit comes alive? She sews her mouth shut.
I don't know, but it sounds pretty fucked up.
Oh, that was wild.
But
nobody seems to remember that.
Twilight Zone, you know, what needs to be said, it has a shitload of respect. It's been very influential on all sorts of
shit. It's an amazing show.
Amazing fucking show. But have you ever watched it in chronological order, one episode to the next? Because that's what Sophia's doing.
Bro, I do that every Christmas.
That's what she's doing. She started season one, which is like, you know, I'm like, I've skipped around. My dad showed me some episodes, the Monsters on Mulberry Street, and I'll watch Eye of the Beholder. I'll watch the ones that I've heard about.
The big ones.
Yeah, she's watching every single fucking episode in chronological order, and I have not watched every episode in chronological order.
You're like, you walk into the room, all right, I'm going to head out.
Well, I walk in, I'm like, wow, this is fucking cool. And this little book that I had found at the library had a used little bookstore. months and months ago, and there was a Twilight Zone episode guide, which is fucking, who cares about that with the internet, but I got it for 50 cents. So she's there with her, the little book, the Twilight Zone episode guide. She's marking it off, dude. She's marking it off while she watched the episodes. It's fucking awesome.
That is awesome, actually.
So she's defacing the book? That's not awesome.
So we're like Twin Peaks and Twilight Zone right now.
Just tossing some X-Files, and then you've got the trifecta.
Right, well, we tossed in, and then just naturally Troma got tossed in. She didn't get that aspect of life, but I got that aspect of life this week. So we got Twilight Zone.
You got that.
We got Twin Peaks. We got fucking Troma.
Twilight Zone, Twin Peaks, Troma. Yeah. The triple T. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's about right. It's a good balance. It's a good.
It's no longer DDD. Now it's
TTT. The Trinity. Yeah, you sure you don't want to get on T? I should get on T, dude.
You sure you don't want to get on A24, dude?
No, I don't. I've been there. I've done that.
And
did not help my gains.
She had not seen Alien since she was a little girl and didn't remember any of it. So it was time to watch Alien.
So was she abducted?
Yeah. By me. No, but and then we're going to watch.
Imagine,
we're going to watch Aliens either. Probably not tonight, but in the next 2 days.
You should show her fucking Communion. That movie's crazy.
I fucking have that. That's one of the ret picks I wanted to do on this show.
You've waited your whole life to see Aliens, right? Like the actual Aliens. And you finally get pulled up into a spaceship. And it's fucking ret. It's like the leader of this fucking alien ship, right. Dude. Probably wouldn't kill myself.
He doesn't even speak. He just goes,
just stares at you.
Oh. I would. You know who would really like that?
Sophia.
Me.
Oh. He gets pulled up by himself. Jesus Christ.
No, but you mentioned.
He's like, I knew it.
Communion. Communion is a fucking scary movie.
Dude, that movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
He's like, I see you. Like, I can't even think about that right now without getting fucking chills. Have you seen that movie? You have to have seen that one. Christopher Walken.
It's an alien movie.
With the gray aliens, supposedly based on a true story. We have to fucking do this movie. This is on my list of ret picks, dude. You've never seen Communion?
I'm sure I must have seen it, but I do not recall. I remember another Christopher Walken movie. Was it The Prophecy?
Yeah.
The Omen? The Prophecy?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Glenn Danzig that.
This is way fucking creepier than...
I'll watch it.
Prophecy was tight. Dead Zone was tight as fuck. Do you ever see Dead Zone?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's David Cronenberg.
Is it?
Cronenberg doing a fucking Stephen King story.
Yeah. Well, it's tight.
All right.
Yeah, most people don't... That's usually not in a Cronenberg conversation because it's not one of his like...
That scene with the fucking hands behind the head and the scissors. Oh, that gets me every time.
That's right.
Every time.
Glad you liked that movie.
That's Gnarls Barkley right there.
So you like Communion. It's creepy as fuck to you, yeah?
Yeah. I don't remember it because I haven't seen it since I was like 9 or 10.
Bill.
But like I remember being like traumatized by that movie.
Traumatized.
Like, I gave it a rewatch about 4 or 5 years ago and it's still really creepy. It's not a perfect movie, but it's fucking and it's super fucking
It's
crazy.
Not a like, perfect movie.
You wow. know he's but never.
I used to have like this enormous window in my bedroom and I didn't have any blinds or anything.
So it wasn't like a secret window.
No.
was it like a rear window?
You stole my story.
I was just always afraid that like I would wake up in the middle of the night and there was just going to be a fucking gray standing there. Because like I couldn't close the blinds or anything because I didn't have any blinds.
Wake you up in the middle of the night.
Got a ticket on a one way.
Oh, it's
Soul Asylum.
Sometimes you'll be getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Never coming back.
You remember that video and it showed all the missing kids?
Yeah, dude, it's like, horrifying.
Damn, this is profound. Well, like they found some of them because of that, I think.
Damn, so that's automatically a good song.
You know what would be crazy though is watching that video now and wondering how many of those kids are dead.
That would be crazy. That would be a really good video. That would be someone's video now. Like
it just flashed pictures of their corpses.
Any like news that we should get to in this newsless world? Other than the world is imploding.
So I guess theaters are opening again.
Yeah.
I haven't read like the details about it, but like they're starting to announce that like St. Maud is coming to the theater. Tenet is coming to the theater.
Both
in
July so far.
Yep. There was something else big coming in July. I don't remember.
I think if done properly, I think the theaters are going to be perfectly safe. You're more than okay to go watch a movie. with your significant other, as long as you stay 6 feet away from somebody else, and it'll be fine.
See, but like, I think are they watching keep it- a Christopher Nolan mindfuck where people are wearing masks and like time is inverted will be awesome in a theater, social distancing, wearing a mask. I think it will fucking be. I'll be stressed out by the movie while I'm stressed out by real life, and it will combine and be synergistic and become like a beautiful Zen experience of pure stress.
In other words, your sauce will mix with ours, yeah, and we'll make a good goulash, baby.
Sauce for the goose.
It's sauce for the goose. It's all together.
Imagine watching like a zombie or a pandemic movie with all the masks.
Contagion should be re-released right now, dude.
That would be insensitive, dude.
Would it, dude?
I mean, some fucking people would think it was. Not me. I don't give a fuck.
Would you go to a theater?
I'm going to go to a theater.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I don't know if I would. I mean, but to see Saint Maud.
Yeah, but you're going to the gym.
Yeah, but
very true.
Difference. I can't lift weights at the theater.
He doesn't love the theater.
The ends justify the means.
What if they
the
let
means.
You lift at the theater while you were watching your movie?
I mean, that'd be tight.
Choose in Chula Vista has a theater where you fucking
the bike theater.
Yeah, it's badass.
But can I pick the movie?
That would be tight.
Yeah. It's probably. Like, let's dude, watch a Serbian film while we're in your
garage.
Yeah, I could. I've been wanting to put a TV in there.
Just do a little projector.
Yeah, that'd be tight. But, it would be a little tight. I don't have one.
Or you could just like work out when you're working out and watch a movie in a theater when you're not.
I mean, like, yeah.
Or you could do both.
I could do a lot of things. Doesn't mean I'm good.
Anything else we should get to?
Damn.
So what else was there? I don't even know. Oh, PS5 got announced. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, the router looking bitch.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Aside from
weird design, man.
Aside from Resident Evil 8, I was largely unimpressed.
Well, I mean, it was just a hardware teaser.
But that's the thing is a lot of it, they just showed games that didn't have like really impressive graphics. They're doing like Ratchet and Clank, and it's like, this looks exactly like the last Ratchet and Clank.
You have to understand, and I'm not trying to mansplain you or anything, but
better not.
Oh, don't do that.
The PS5 has a totally different build architecture than the PS4 did. So the developers are having to completely rethink the way they develop for the PS5. So a lot of things may not be ready for showtime.
Ah, you totally mansplained right now.
They do.
You know why? Because you said it concisely and comprehensively, and that is not allowed.
They do have a game where you play as a cat in a backpack, and I'm totally going to play the fuck out of that.
I'm sure you will.
It's like a platformer. Looks super cool.
Did you think about how I would feel when you explained that right now?
I did, and I reveled in it.
Good.
Oh, good. There have been talks about an Attack the Block sequel. Joe Cornish and John Boyega got together to talk about it.
You know what, dude? Boyega's handling with sequels as of yet, not liking it.
Yeah, but Attack the Block was like so much better than all of those Star Wars movies. So like,
yeah, but like he was also in Pacific Rim too. So like, nah.
Ooh. Well, that doesn't.
He's bad luck, is what I'm saying. He's bad luck.
Joe Cornish is the one to focus on.
Yeah, but he's Boyega. Bad. He's
it's
bad
not
luck.
Up to Boyega.
He's not a good. He's not a good luck charm when it comes to sequels. Skip. Next.
Says skip it.
Did anyone see the one that Joe Cornish followed up Attack the Block with?
What was it? The
Merlin one? Like, not Merlin, but it's like King Arthur in modern day where the kid finds out he's...
What was it called?
I forgot what it was called.
Well, then how am I going to know if I've seen it?
Because I'm describing King Arthur.
He described it enough.
Shit.
If you'd seen it,
you'd
seen
it. There's
a
kid who
Patrick
knows something.
Stewart plays fucking
he goes,
Merlin.
Yeah, it's a movie about his dude in a tower, and his name is John McClane, and he's got a gun.
Yeah. So what's the name? I don't know.
I've never seen it, dude.
They bought these laser swords and they use the force.
Yeah.
I can't remember their name.
He says like, "Heidi ho, partner."
Hey, feller.
Come out to the woods. We'll have a party sometime.
Oh, shit. Anything else, Matthew?
No, nothing. Nothing really.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then come back to talk about a little movie called...
It's called Get In.
It's called Get In.
Not a sequel to Get Out.
It could be.
It snuck out on Netflix. So, you know, if you saw it, you saw it. If you didn't.
So get in there.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Hey.
Hey.
So.
guess what? We're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, George.
Hello.
Why don't you come inside, have a cup of tea?
Did you pull up the IMDb page for the movie?
I will in just 1 second.
You know, like, you would think he would do that during
IMDb.
The break. You forgot the B.
So,
dude.
We watched a little film that's available right now on Netflix from France.
2019 or 2020, depending on what year you're watching it in.
So the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called Get In, 2019 or 2020, depending on whatever year you watched it in. Hailing from France, directed by Olivier Abou,
Lawrence
written
Olivier.
By Olivier Abou and also Aurélien Molière, starring Adama Nian, Stéphane Collard, Paul Hami. It's Homie.
Yeah. Paul Homie.
Eddie LeDuc. Herbert Delatois. Leila Amara. Colin Bial.
Your French is worse than your fucking Korean.
Colin. I don't know, dude. It's a bunch of French fuckers.
Frogs, they call them.
It's like, there's a lot of accents in this shit.
There's some accents, dude, and some of them I don't understand, and it scares me because I'm a fucking neophyte when it comes to countries, dude. Where did I put my notes? Oh, no, you lost your notes, dude. You're
francophobic.
The IMDb synopsis goes as such. On their return from vacation, Paul and his family find their house occupied by disturbing squatters, dude.
They weren't disturbing.
Matt Smith. What'd you think of Get In?
I liked it. I liked it less the second time that I watched it. I thought that there were some interesting ideas that were brought up plot-wise. I like that it is a kind of twist on the home invasion genre.
Dude, it's like an Inside Out home invasion,
it's
dude.
It's like a double home invasion. Like both ways.
Spoiler alert, dude.
You know, and yeah, we'll get into it more, but I was mostly favorable.
Okay.
This is a real fucking movie.
This is a movie with actors, yes.
This is a movie with actors and camera angles and locations and dialogue and cinematography. And ideas and topical shit. And it's supposedly based on a true story, which I would love to look into how much liberty was taken there.
We almost like we should have researched this before we did this episode. But nah, whatever.
That doesn't make the episode any better.
That's not very deep.
You don't want facts. You want opinions.
Kind of. Well, it's all about the flow. We could have facts and just like be reading them. But anyway, So. I really enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
That's probably unsurprising, I guess. I think it's very, you guys mentioned it earlier. It's relevant right now. It brings up a lot. Thematically, there's a shitload of stuff about property, about rights of manhood, about like freaking the opposite sex and like, you know, primal like. Animal fucking stuff of protecting territory and you know, all that kind of stuff.
There's what it's like to be a man.
Race issues, of course, because the protagonist is a black dude and he's tried to do
things.
Oh,
shit, he is?
He is.
Fuck.
For those, and so if you heard that and...
I don't even see color, dude. I just saw gray.
You don't see color, then you don't see the problem, dude.
If you don't see color, then you're colorblind.
It's true.
No, they... no,
when they see color, they just don't see some
yeah.
color.
So... They don't see him good.
They don't see him very well in their
head movies.
I thought
it was very fucking well acted. I need to talk about the execution real quick. Very well acted, especially by the husband and wife. Very well directed. And it makes sense that the same guy who directed it wrote it because it seems like, you know, someone...
A singular vision.
A singular vision. Because otherwise this could get really fucking messy. It is messy anyway. But I'm pretty immersed in the thing while I'm watching it. I have yet to watch it again, so I don't know if I'll feel as enthusiastic the second time.
So I feel like I'm gonna ape both of your opinions on this movie because I do think that it's fantastically directed. The people in this film are acting up a storm. I do think thematically it's got some things that are, you know, very prescient to what's going on right now. And also, I think it's a good film. I don't think I really liked it. And it's hard for me to say because I do understand that it's a good, it's a well done film. I just think for me personally, I think that it borders on a little too fucking cute for me. And that's not to say that I think that's just a personal thing.
You're psychotic.
I might be.
It's like me with Ari Aster.
I might be. I just found myself kind of being irritated by
how it was wrapped up at the end.
Not even the wrap up. I don't think these people acted real. The husband and wife. And when I say that, I just think that they're like
overdramatic
comic book characters almost. The way they act with each other.
It's a melodrama.
And I'll
agree with that.
Yeah, and I just think that takes me out of the film a little bit, where I want them to be a little bit more human. I feel like they're caricatures of people. And that sort of takes me out of the film a little bit.
That is a real, real, real highbrow fucking way to go.
Is that? I thought I was gonna get roasted for that.
Well, no. I get what you're saying, but it's have you seen like Dog Day Afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I think that Sidney Lumet was a guy like that, and I acting like that. I think that's theatrical acting too. Like it's very over the top.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And so I'm bringing that. Why the fuck am I bringing that up? Because there's melodrama isn't just a knock on something. Melodrama is like a whole form of art. So this is, I'm not saying this movie is melodramatic, but it's a form of melodrama. Like the characters are ratcheted up. You know, like this guy he encounters and gets to know who's fucking at the trailer park who rekindles his manhood. Everything's exaggerated.
Mickey,
yeah, everything's exaggerated. Like it's. You get what I'm saying?
No. So let's talk about the movie real quick, because I think we should lay down a baseline so that we can all sort of discuss it. And also, if you haven't seen this film, spoilers ahead, because it takes a turn.
This is a film that's very difficult, by the way, to see where it's going. Like, you know, it's from the beginning, by the way, the atmosphere that's set with the music, with the shots, with the tone of it. The
music was great.
It's very foreboding, and yeah. It's like, oh, I think I'm in for something heavy here. And it goes on long enough where you're in for some interesting shit, and then it sets up the premise, and it's like, wow, this fucking really happened?
When
it takes that turn, though, like, yeah, it does get heavy.
The only joyful parts, and I say that fully, you know, fully understanding what I'm saying, the only joyful parts are, you know, at this party that this guy goes to, and it's the only moment of happiness he has, yeah, because his life is
you can argue that the moment's not even happy.
It's not. That's what I mean. I don't think it's a happy moment necessarily, but I do think that like of this very very like downtrodden movie, because it lives underneath that like mood,
yeah,
where you know you feel hopeless and
extremely oppressive.
It's super oppressive,
yeah, which I think is very fucking, anytime that an atmosphere is maintained like that, whether it's uncomfortable or I like it or not, like that's an achievement in itself. It maintaining an atmosphere, I think, is
I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you gonna ask? You said you didn't really quite understand what the fuck we were saying.
Yeah, I mean, because you were saying like they're kind of cranked up like cartoon characters, and I forgot what Rhett was saying, but something similar, you know, where I can't remember what you were saying. But yeah, I don't understand what you guys are talking about, because I didn't think they were ramped up at all. Like, if anything, I thought that they were kind of like, I felt like it was realistic, because I was thinking like, well, what the fuck would I do if I was in the same situation, you know, where you technically cannot break into your own property, because then you'll be arrested. They tell them straight up, if you break into the property, you're going to go to jail for 3 years. And you're kind of at your wit's end. You have nowhere to go. All of your stuff is in this place. You have just enough to get you by with what's in the RV. You have a young child who like doesn't understand why they can't go home.
Right.
You're having
who like, just wants his Game Boy.
Yeah, you're having marital problems, and then
I don't even, dude. I like that the marital stuff to me. That was the most panic inducing to me,
yeah.
Because I think about shit like that and I go, well, like, what would I do in that situation? Like, yeah. What would my response be? And I'm thinking, I go, brother, what are you doing? Get out. Get the opposite of this title. Get out.
See, and I mean, well, that's the thing is like, this movie brings up a lot of questions of like, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a husband,
what the perceived, what it takes to be a man.
Even what it means to be a black man, because his essentially blackness is brought into question a lot of the time.
Well, of course.
Well, he gets called an Oreo by one of his students.
See, and like there was a lot of stuff that I actually really liked surrounding that, because he was teaching a lesson in his class, and you know, the kid basically says like, oh, well, if anybody robs you, it's because they know you're a bitch. Like if they know you're going to bow up on them, they'll leave you alone. And later you see this kid getting in a fight because he's hitting on some girl. And then the girl gets like bloodied up in the fight. And I'm like, well, that's just showing that like your toxic masculinity affects the people around you. You know, it's not just about like being an alpha, like, because you're not just the only fucking person here. Like there's people around, there's innocent bystanders. And his wife, through his exploration of his own like inner animal, was like affected. She decided to leave him. Like their family is, you know, I mean, getting into spoilers, like beaten almost to death. I'm pretty sure she's raped at one point.
Pretty damn close, if not. Yeah. She's repulsed by the situation,
you
and,
know,
and by his. That's the thing. Yeah. You're bringing up a lot of good stuff, and the movie brings up a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Even if as deplorable as any of that stuff sounds, like, oh, those are old antiquated ideas. When it comes to the realm of physical necessity, like of like take your shit back or lose it, it's like, well, that's how it is. And so then what are you going to do? Are you going to take your shit back, or are you going to let or keep getting fucked over?
Well, and it's easy to watch this movie and be like, oh, what a pussy. Right. Yeah. Because you've never been in that situation before. No, right.
It's a ridiculous
situation. Because it's, you know, your thought is like, well, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to get my fucking house back, dude. Like it's my domain.
Yeah.
But it does leave you feeling hopeless and helpless, because in that situation, I think you are largely ineffective as a human, let alone a masculine man, which is a fucking
exaggerated idea where the system is lined up against you. If he does take his own home back, the consequences are right there for him. He's broken the law. He'll be taken to jail.
He loses his family anyways.
Yeah. And he'll go to jail. And he's a criminal. So the whole thing is stacked against you.
Well, it speaks largely about like priorities too. You know, like what is your priority? Like looking tough, providing for your family, providing a good, you know, an influence for your child.
Right.
And
identity also. Because what is he without, let's say he wants to just leave the situation. He's lost his house. He's lost his child. He's lost his wife. Like, then what? Like, yeah.
Well, see,
his identity is wrapped up in all those responsibilities.
Well, when he's having the marital problems, and like, you can tell that he's always kind of been a little bit timid, but then his wife makes the comment about like, you're always half in and half out. Like,
she gets him hard right there, dude.
She gets him good, you know, but then later she's like, yeah, you're the one that I want. Like, you're the one that I love. So she's obviously been into him like the whole time.
Well, it really gets to the core of what it is to be. I even hate saying it, but it really gets to the core of what it in society, what it takes to be a man.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you've got these milestones in your life, right? You've got marriage, owning a house, having children, whatever, retiring and then dying. So yeah, if you don't have one of those, you know, obviously you fucked up somewhere along the way.
And that's what
Facebook wants you to believe.
Well, that's what I mean. Because you know, me personally, like in terms of, hey, like life goals, milestones, whatever the fuck you want to call them, like I've never considered owning a house, having children, being married. Those,
yeah, you do all of those.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I don't think that as like the breadwinner of my family, like I don't feel like that. I don't think that
makes you any more of a man.
No, dude, of course it doesn't. Because what is it that I have?
Well, even if it did, then what?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the Earth spins off its axis. No, nothing changes.
Like, yeah, that's what I was saying about priorities. It's like, what do you prioritize? Do you prioritize looking like a badass, or do you prioritize doing the right thing and taking care of your family? Like, he could have easily just said, "Cool, you know what? Like, well, this sucks, but like, we'll get through it the legal way." Versus like, I'm gonna drive my fucking RV through a fence with my child.
Well, he's
one of the reasons. Go ahead.
Well, what I was gonna get to is he's an ineffectual hothead. He's got all this anger and all this, you know, and all this impotent anger.
That's what allowed him to slide into Homeboy's trap. Was he just wanted to have somebody who understands what he's going through and somebody to talk to. And then, you know, the guy starts giving him like alcohol and then starts giving him drugs and it's like loosening him up and he's forgetting about his problems. So it's easy to kind of fall into this shit.
To take it away from like, could you guys use the word happy, right, earlier in regards to the party he takes him to? It's one of the only joyful movies you said. And then you're, you know.
Joyful moments, yeah.
Joyful moments. And Matt's like, I don't know if it was a joyful moment. I don't know if it was joyful either. But what it was liberating, because that's the thing. Whether it's positive, negative, healthy, unhealthy, it was there was freedom in it.
Yeah.
Because he was getting reintroduced to
his animal.
To his primal instinct, to just being. Yeah.
To
hedonism and to indulging yourself, to like letting yourself go, to all of that stuff. Cause this is a guy he tried to do, not just as a man, but also as a black man, he tried to play their game. He tried to do things the right way. He tried to garner their respect and, you know, and be a gentleman. And he tried to do things in the civilized way and it fucked him over.
Yeah.
It fucked him over completely.
Got him nowhere.
Right.
And he mentions that. He's like, you know, wasn't I a good enough black man? I married a white wife. I have a job. I pay taxes. I own a house. And then he does like one of the most aggressive things that he's done. He tells like his coworker or his friend to get out of his face before he punches him. And, you know, he's kind of like, see, and then that goes towards like the end, you know, like after he pulls up that mask and he sees himself, it's like, oh, that's like symbolizing the death of who he used to be, you know, or the death of who he is and like has become, and he's back to who he was.
Well, it's the animal. It's the killer. The killer in me is the killer in you. That's what it is, though. It's regardless of the context, it goes back to the animal instinct of kill or be killed. And they're the same in that regard. So the more I think about it, it's a good dichotomy because you got the guy. What's the guy in the fucking trailer park?
Mickey.
You got Mickey, and then you got our protagonist. And the protagonist at the beginning of the film is the over-civilized modern guy. Mickey is the under-civilized
scumfuck.
He's pure id.
Yeah.
It's like, you look at Mickey and he's
almost pure id. If he's pure id, he's in fucking prison.
He's got tattoos on just his hand and his back. If you got tattoos on your hand and you don't got them on your arms, you're some kind of trash. just saying.
Yeah. Some kind of trash.
Yeah.
So they're extremes of each other, you know? So I think that it's about the film in a philosophical way, really, with the situation is saying that seeking a middle ground, like, you know, if you push your instincts too far away, that's gonna go south. If you don't embrace civilization and being modern and civilized, that's gonna go south too.
Yeah.
You know? So in other words, you need to exercise moderation in the ways you behave.
Hey, come on, bro.
Hey, come on, dude. Don't say that, dude.
I can't do that.
Nobody likes moderation, dude.
Well, that's why you don't do it, right?
Because I don't. I'm all or nothing.
It goes back to this. That's why I don't fucking drink. Because I can't. I'm just not interested in moderating it.
Yeah, me either.
I don't want to moderate.
I can't and I won't.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it and I enjoy it. Why not do it a lot? Fuck yeah. That's why I never did coke.
Let's make it a contest, dude. Yep. Who can do it the better?
Steve asked me today, that's why party is a release in the movie. It's like, fuck yeah, dude. Go do, like, regardless. It's too late now. Go for it, you know?
Yeah, Steve asked me today. He's like, why you got to make it a competition? I'm like, dog, you got to be the best.
Steve, really? Coming from Steve? Yeah, yeah. That brother, everything in his life is a fucking competition. Fuck him.
Yeah, I told him. I'm like, you know better than anybody. He's like, bro, I don't got to compete with anybody. I'm just on top shitting on everyone.
Yeah, of course. Fucking like, dickhead. Yeah.
So you're competing about how much you compete.
No, he competes about how much he doesn't compete, yeah. Which is even worse.
Yeah, I don't need to compete because there's no competition.
It's fucking.
So I therefore won the competition about
without even trying to be
because
in it,
I don't
dude.
Have to compete.
Yeah.
Because there's no competition.
Wow, you guys are doing the thing. I don't even have to get in the middle of that. You guys figured that out.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
That's right, what good. She said.
Woo, coo. Okay, and then this movie, about 70% of the way through, goes full slasher.
Yep.
And it's, I think, to me, it's the most enjoyable part of this movie.
Gnarls.
It's
gnarls.
Fucking
hella gnarls.
Hella crazy, dude.
How you feel about the acting being a little sensationalized, I guess?
Yeah.
I feel it is gnarls. It is gnarls Barkley. What?
Yeah,
that's okay. The second time you've said that today.
Did no, I?
Yeah.
I said it the first
time. Oh, okay, both of you.
Okay, but...
The both of you.
That being said, I don't like it when a movie like this, it takes me out of the movie.
When it goes 180?
That. Well, it's not that it 180s, it's that everyone in the movie is extremely durable. They can all take a lot of punishment. And it's like, so the hit's starting to, by the end of it, the hit, I like that there's it's in there, that it gets heavy as fuck like that, but when the women are getting hit, like, you know, cold cock to the face several times, and they keep coming back, and then the guys, and then they're all like John McClane. When see, every character is like super durable.
There wasn't a whole lot of coming back. So, like, you had four people who were basically getting assaulted. The two people who owned the house and the two squatters. Like, the male squatter got his ass kicked.
He's
and
dead, right?
So... I thought he should have been dead, but he was ineffective the rest of the time. He just laid on the floor until they dragged him into that giant Ziploc bag.
Right.
So he did nothing. His wife wasn't really ever beaten until like they just subdued her and put her in the bag.
Dude, they beat the shit out of her.
when they beat the
that
shit.
That was horrific.
When they beat the shit out of the main woman under the tarp, like that was one of the most violent, just... gang beatings. I'd
see. Yeah, and
there was genuine cruelty in those. And it, that's
it,
what I mean.
It was unexpected too, because I thought they were just going to beat the shit out of him, but yeah. They did. Both they went ham.
And see, I don't know if ham because they're pigs. Oh, see, man, and then like the fact that they're killing pigs. So like, I had what I assume was like an intellectual thought while I was watching this.
That was an intellectual thought.
So like,
yeah, the fact that you had to like think about it.
They're talking about right like he's in the classroom and he's teaching and he's talking about like, you know, how nobody can deny you about life, liberty, and property. And he's talking about how like the people who enforce that are the law, and that society didn't want people just running around wild, so we created the police. And you know, like
the social contract.
Yeah,
this is John Locke, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, but then almost immediately after. They go and they start shooting pigs.
Right.
And like, I mean, I'm not saying that they're saying that like the police has failed them, because like he went and like the law basically did nothing for him. And this is like symbolizing, you don't need the law, go around the law. And him taking the gun and putting that pig out of his misery kind of shows that in essence, he's going to do what's right, but he's willing to take it to like that next step to do what's right. And then they all wear pig masks and it's kind of just like, you know, full circle.
Well, there's a lot of motifs there. There's a lot of themes there. You know, it's an Animal Farm type shit almost, really, when you think about it. Because, I mean, but when you mention the social contract, that's what I mean. I don't know if the movie's trying to, I don't think it's like, oh, here's the clear answer. But it's like, it's forcing you to engage in this discussion. Like the idea of the social contract is that you traded certain liberties for certain protections.
Yeah.
And it's accurate because
but then when you don't get those protections,
right.
Do you take back those liberties?
Exactly.
And that's kind of what it, at least what I feel like it's exploring.
Well, and regardless of who said it, it's worth noting that there are people who have said stuff like, if you prefer security to liberty, you deserve neither and we'll lose both.
Yep.
Now, who said that is irrelevant, but...
who said that is irrelevant? Because I don't know.
It's Benjamin Franklin. So it's like, oh, well, shit. But
he also owned slaves.
Exactly. So, yeah, how much credibility? Exactly. Like, look at all these slave owners and how wise they are, which that's the thing, though. That's kind of telling you that they knew this. They understood that these people are going to trade their liberties for protections. Mm-hmm. They understand the nature of society. You know what I'm saying? So
Nah, I mean.
You know what I mean? No, what I mean is that that's going to happen with a when you get a shitload of people, something's going to police them. If it's not the police, then it's
dude,
it's fucking Mad Max.
Dude, time. Who polices the police, dude?
Exactly.
Who's watching the
Watchmen? Who watches the Watchmen?
Fucking A, dude.
Not me. I've never watched that show.
Well, God, it makes me want to, like, you know, talk about the defund the police thing and all that good stuff.
Cause, like, I mean, it's relevant.
It is relevant. That's the thing. Well, in the context of the movie, that's the thing.
Like, I was thinking about this the other day because I know on our last episode we kind of wanted to not.
Well, I didn't want to talk about what was going on because I didn't want to, like,
yeah.
People come here for an escape, but this is, like, actually
relevant. Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't think that last episode was the right moment to talk
about. Blood Machines was clearly the one.
Yeah. That's where we talk about space titties.
Yeah, we talk about space titties, and now it's real talk.
Yeah.
No, I do, you know.
These are old questions.
We're still trying to solve them. Yep. Yeah.
Thousands of years later.
Exactly right.
I mean, from the beginning, it shows that the police failed him, the courts failed him, the justice system failed him. And it's like, you do question if it's because he's black or just because there's really nothing that they could do about it. And you see the cops, like, he's trying to get into his own property, and instantly the cops draw guns on him. And, like, one of my first notes was, if this was America, he would have been shot.
Like, well, the equivalent of, like, an American shooting is a British cop whopping you on the head with his nightstick, because those guys don't carry guns.
A bobby. Right.
So, you know, it is equivalent, I think, because, you know, that reaction from the police to immediately call into question, like, is it even his house? You feel
they didn't even call that. They just assumed it wasn't immediately. Yeah.
Well, even when his wife was like, "That's my husband. We live here." They're
like, "Shut up, bitch!"
Jinx, owe me a blowjob.
Right. Well, and that's
shut up, you old white bitch.
Well, and the thing to talk about here is what it brings up is this word systemic, right? Like, so because a lot of people, it's like, well, these individuals are responsible. This person's a bad cop, and it's like, no. Like, the cop themselves are an expression of this old system's worst attributes. Because they have the badge and they have the gun. They end up being the outlet for these old, antiquated, really unjust fucking ways of interacting with people. So it happens systemically, right? But
I guess that's the whole thought behind, you know, I have family members who are policemen.
Same.
And I know that not all cops are fuckheads. Because I personally,
I'm not even talking about the individuals.
Well, what I'm getting at is, like, I know that not all cops are shitheads, but
see that opens a whole nother.
But here's the thing. I think the you know, Rhett was talking about the systemic problem.
Right.
It's a systemic issue, and it does blur the lines between, like, okay, well, this one cop is really fucking good, but is he not calling out?
But see, and that's turning the other way because that's
systemic,
and it's like. Yeah. You can make the argument that any good cop would quit because there's such
call out the shit. Well, but
the problem is there's such a brotherhood there. Like, the system is stacked against everyone that if somebody does speak out, you know, the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. If you're calling out crooked cops, the other crooked cops are going to make sure you can't call out anybody else ever again.
Well, not only the other crooked cops, anyone else who didn't speak up is just automatically going to fall on that side. And the cop generally has to pay rent and has a family. So they've got instincts supporting that. Everything's stacked against you in a system like that. So, and so for me, I'm not like, abolish the police, but dismantle these things. Yes. Yeah. Dismantle means to deconstruct it and rebuild
it. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's when
that in Camden, New Jersey,
when people hear that defund the police thing, I think people misconstrue that and they think that, like, oh, take the money away from the police.
No, but did you know that, the San Diego police got like 42% of the city's budget?
Well, yeah. So, defund the police for getting tanks.
And that's the spirit of it. It's not like, it's not defund all of the police.
Let's stop militarizing. That's the
not
police.
Serving or protecting.
They really, terrorizing the police.
What they need to do is, and the idea behind it is to compartmentalize the police so that, yes, the police still need to take care of violent issues and whatnot, but things that a social worker can address, send a social worker. I think that's
a mental health clinician, all that,
all of these things, you know, and you know better than any of us.
For once. Legitimately, I don't just believe that.
Yeah, no. And I didn't say that in a snarky. I didn't say that in a snarky way. And so, man, I do think that despite the fact that this movie came out in 2019, it's still hitting some very pertinent.
If it came out 50 years ago, it would hit. If it came out 20 years ago,
yeah. I just mean right at this moment, it is super poignant.
It's funny, it's got its D all the way in the zeitgeist.
What's funny is this movie came out last year.
Right. This movie's wife is not cheating on it.
Last year, this movie asked a question that would have brought up, you know, an interesting debate.
It's giving it to you.
This year, it doesn't. Because they asked, what is the worst year in human history? And that was in 2019. And 2020 was like, hold my beer, because shit's about to get crazy. So this movie is currently responsible for all the problems.
All of the problems. Right now. Yeah.
COVID, murder hornets.
Blame it on Get In.
Yeah. This movie is at fault.
You know what? That guy's answer was great, though. They had a volcano that fucking exploded.
Oh, hell yeah.
Only 10% of the population was left. Yep. That's a pretty... You win.
That's a good answer.
Winner! Like, but you won that question.
You couldn't help but think, like, 2020 is pretty fucking bad.
Oh, yeah.
2020 is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you're not going on just the raw numbers of survivors.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I have been trying... I've been trying to kind of keep my head as level as possible over the last month, and I can't.
It brought out the Che Guevara in though.
I can't do the shit that I used to do in high school, man. I can't. I got kids now, and I can't be like, you know, I'm going out to these protests and whatnot. But goddamn, like, do I really, really, really want to be involved? I feel like handcuffed by society because, like, I've got children and I've got a house and you know,
you're comfortable.
I am comfortable. That's the problem.
I feel great that, I mean, I just had a job change. The job where I'm at is a much different situation. It's multicultural. There's women working in the office. It's clinical work. It's working with the court system, which you're like, oh, well you hate the cop. And it's like, no, that's my thing is this, like the job I get to do right now is a step towards the decriminalization, honestly, of because what it is instead of throwing people in jail, they put them in drug court, which means they're trying to treat.
It's rehab instead of throwing them in jail.
Let's give them some education and some freaking treatment for they keep going to jail specifically for drug offenses. So instead of criminalizing it, treat it like a public health issue.
Yeah,
because it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, the prison system just promotes repeat offenders.
Right. This is only something that popped up in the last few years.
Yeah, you get out and you got to report that shit, so it's hard to get a job, and then everybody looks at you differently, and then you can't pay your fucking bills, and then what?
Right.
Then you're going to start going to shit to make money, because you got to survive, you got to eat.
There's no other way around it, yeah.
You know, and then if, like, everything sucks, like, and you've been clean, I mean, you're going to go back to something that makes you feel good, whether that's, like, a $3 bottle of hooch or, you know, it's some fucking yay or some whatever, like.
No, yeah.
You're going to go to that, and then guess what? Boom, back in jail.
And I did some soul searching, because, speaking of systemic stuff, I was curious what this thing was actually like, because I was getting all my information, like all of us, from the internet, from the news, and from other people. And it was like, I'm just going to go to this fucking thing as a spectator and see what the deal is, you know, because everything I read about and all that. But then I'm like, oh, if you do that, Rhett, then you're like helping George Soros and this is all bullshit. And then I asked myself, it's like, is systemic racism real or not? Is police brutality real or not? Yes. So I don't give a fuck about that other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about the other stuff. And sounds stupid, maybe. As a human being, I don't like the idea of an agent of the state being able to fucking kill someone in the street. I don't, they're going for them right now and we're next. And like,
one of the cops who killed a protester this last week
just got charged. And it has been doing something. They took the chokeholds away. They took these fucking, I have a buddy who's this, it's hard to, I hate saying this because I like being open-minded, but it's hard to remain buddies with some people right now.
Yep.
Because he's fucking telling me, oh, you don't even know you're being gaslit. I'm like, gaslit for them to stop fucking doing chokeholds and remove Confederate statues?
Yeah.
Like, sign me up, dude.
Bro, I just wish people at work would stop saying shit to me because I'm white. like
white, you know, dude, I,
like white people feel really comfortable expressing their racism to other white people. And then I'm like, well, fuck, it's, you bro. Know, like I really liked you until right now,
until just
and
this
now,
moment.
And now I got to put you in your fucking
place. You know what's really fucking strange? And I've talked to my wife about this.
My wife,
you know, as and I don't want to use this term too loosely, but as like a white passing Mexican person, I almost feel a bit of imposter syndrome when it comes to the shit that's going on, because I like spiritually I'm like, yeah, dude, fuck the white people, and like also I'm like, but like, dude, you've been white passing almost your entire life, dude. You've got,
you benefited from
that. I have.
So have I.
And it's weird.
That's why how I know it's systemic.
It's weird to think about that, because as you know, as a child growing up in, let's call it what it is, I grew up in a pretty racist town, and other than my first name, dude, I was given a free pass to be a fucking white person in Santee.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's like to be oppressed, and I don't know what it's like to be prejudiced. And I even as a full-blooded ass Mexican, I don't understand what it's like to have a cop pull me over and feel actual fear.
I have no fucking clue. The only times I ever had a cop do anything is when I was fucking blacked out drunk.
You didn't experience it.
Yeah, no, drunk. I've had cops pull guns on me like at least three times.
But you probably deserved it.
I haven't done shit.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you look like a problem.
Yeah.
No, but.
Look at your tattoos, dude. It says Lávate los manos, yeah, dude.
Wash your hands, bro.
That's the issue right there. You nailed it on the head, George, I understand that I don't know. And so I understand that I don't know. That's the thing. I don't want to. Same with. Am I going to know what it's like to be?
All I know is that I don't know nothing.
Dust in the wind, dude. That's Bill and Ted, dude. That's Socrates.
No, all I know is Operation Ivy. Know. All I know is that I don't know nothing.
No, yeah. That's
Chris would have got.
I did not know that. That was Operation Ivy.
That album would actually curdle. It Rhett's would
actually.
Blood.
It's whatever, already right? Just that they're using. You think that that's their line?
Yeah, no, dude. Rhett, upon hearing that album, he might.
That's like thinking Kelly Clarkson.
He might. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I'm gonna play it while we're here, just so I can hear him and see him be angry at they Operation Ivy.
Had a cool
Ivy.
T-shirt though at Hot Topic in the 90s.
Yeah, like, whatever. Oh,
that band must be cool. And then I heard him. I'm like, fucking. Dude, that's the bat, dude. Get the bat, dude. Gas the bat, dude. Get the bat.
I think you're thinking of a different band.
You're probably thinking of Suicide Machines, brother.
You're thinking maybe. Of. What are we talking about?
You're thinking about this talking about dig, getting, dude. But yeah, man,
I don't know what it's like to be a woman. I don't know what it's like to be pregnant. I never will. So I don't need to. I don't like. I've tried to practice not talking about shit that I don't have an informed opinion about. I've tried.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to hear me like, oh. You need to do this to the car. I don't know shit about cars, so I don't have an informed opinion about it.
Yeah, but you know what? I do have an opinion about. I know that I don't like people telling me what to do, especially with like my body.
Unless they challenge you to.
I know that I don't like people exerting their.
I know
will
that white guys
me.
Don't like that either. White guys don't like to be told to do with their body.
That's the thing. Nobody. Everybody knows what that shit is like. Nobody likes to be fucking held down. So like,
they couldn't golf and they fucking protested.
Yeah, whether you are Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter, like you can easily relate to the fact that like. Shit is being done that you shouldn't.
Yeah, and then you know that sententiment of you know, and I feel like
we're gonna get a little bit of blowback from this,
and I don't
cool hit unsubscribe.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like if the people that are bothered by this, I honestly do not give a fuck and go away forever.
This show is our goddamn.
You
platform.
Know when I started seeing that like all lives matter bullshit, and I go you just don't get it. You clearly have a disconnect and you just don't get it.
Which is evidence of systemic stuff, by the way. Because it's not like I know I don't hate people. It's not about you hating people, it's that you can't even see the sentence clearly. So if you have Breast Cancer Awareness Month, right? And come up and say, all cancers matter. It's like, no. Yeah, we're talking. Yeah. This one's about breast cancer, though, because that's for this.
That's it's pertinent to this moment.
All forests matter. Yeah. It's like, but this one needs help right now.
Yeah,
like fuck.
So, all right. Well, we've all said our piece on this. We've gotten a little far off the movie. But but I mean the movie does,
it forces that conversation. Yeah.
It does, and I'm glad that we did get.
And so does Poultrygeist. Oddly enough,
I'm glad that we actually got to talk about this in context of the movie that we're doing versus, you know, just standing on a soapbox, which I mean, we're doing anyways, and I'll do it gladly, but I'm glad that we're doing it in the medium of where we're still entertaining people.
Yeah. With a movie that is relevant.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah. And if not, hit unsubscribe, because I don't need your fucking like. I don't need your follow. I don't need your Patreon subscription.
Whoa, 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 if you don't believe the same thing as me, get
out of here.
We appreciate all of you. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the episode 265 for Get In.
It's on Netflix. Watch it.
It's on Netflix. Watch it. I do think it's a good movie. I personally did not enjoy a lot of it.
Yeah.
Because it's too oppressive.
It's not. No, I just.
It's too good for you.
It's too good, dude. It's just too good. It's just too good. I can't handle it. I can't handle
Uncut Gems.
The D of it.
Also on Netflix.
If I can immature things a little bit, damn, that main chick was so fine.
She was so fine.
And she had a Medusa tattoo on her hip. I am in.
Get in.
Get in.
Get it.
I wish.
The D.
Get all right. In,
pull out.
Fellers, well, it was great to be back. In our hovel.
Yeah.
Yeah, in person and in the room.
Got, as Rhett would say, hovel.
Hovel. We got in here.
Hi, Sophia.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for supporting us during this garbage pandemic. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Each and last one of you, we love you. Always
rest
have.
Of you. Hate your fucking guts.
I mean, I hate everyone's guts.
Let's not play favorites. Yeah.
This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Bye, idiots. And I do truly hate your fucking guts. See ya.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world alive.